Okay. Nice to be here, and the Vancouver singing is as great as ever. You really know how to sing. I'd like to take all that's been said today, well, maybe not all, but a good part of it from the very start to what we heard tonight, and try to focus maybe just another aspect of it. I'd like to speak about the body tonight. My son, give me thine heart. We heard that today. I think alongside of that, God is saying, give me your body. And so I want to look at some of the scriptures. We're going to look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Genesis 2 and 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him or suited for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Psalm 139, verse 13. Psalm 139 and verse number 13. Psalm of David, Psalm 139 and 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 that was read this morning. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy or bring to naught both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just over the page of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. One final reading in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your intelligent or your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not a doctor, but I have appreciated some of the amazing facts about this body of ours. Now, we are all here in a body tonight. I just looked at the internet a while back, and I found some very interesting facts with regard to our bodies. In the time that it'll take me to read this sentence, well, I'll read it for you. 50,000 of the cells in your body will die and be replaced with new cells all the while that you've been listening to this sentence. And so 50,000 cells died, and others have joined their ranks. In a year, a person's heart beats 40 million times. Never even think about it. Most people blink about 25 times a minute. Time it. Here's one. You use an average of 43 muscles for a frown. 43 muscles, frown. Use an average of 17 muscles for a smile. Every 2,000 frowns create one wrinkle. Let me have a look here now. Some of you look like you've been using a lot of extra muscles. The length of all blood vessels in a human body reaches about 100,000 kilometers. That's a long way. The average human will pump 48 million gallons of blood in their lifetime. An amazing, amazing pump. Listen to this. The average human body, I'm not sure if I'm average, but the average human body contains enough sulfur to kill all fleas in an average dog. Contains enough carbon to make 900 pencils. Contains enough potassium to fire a toy cannon. It contains enough fat to make 7 bars of soap. For some of us, a bit more. The average body contains enough phosphorus to make 2,000 match heads. Our bodies contain enough water to fill a 10-gallon tank. And here's a very encouraging one. Your ears and your nose will continue to grow throughout your entire lifetime. That's great. I got a Roman nose. Roman all over my face. Well, we're very body conscious, aren't we? We think a lot about it, and it's an important part of our being. You know, what we have read, and I'm just going to go very briefly, but I trust that I'll be able to focus for you something that maybe we take very much for granted, something that we don't think about too much, because a lot of times we spiritualize our spiritual lives and we somehow divorce it from a hands-on thing. We are hearing about a challenge to give your soul or to make the right choice concerning your life. What shall it profit a man, Ross was telling us, if you gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But part of the equation involves our bodies. And so if you're going to go to Panama, you're going to have to go with your soul, but with your body as well. And so what we have read tonight concerns, first of all, the marvel of our body's formation. I'd love to have been there in Genesis chapter 2 when God, the very hand of the omnipotent God, began to take up some clay. And as a sculptor, he began to form man. Actually, John Procopio and I went to the clay house, or I'm not sure, the pottery house in West Bank the other day. And the proprietor of that pottery house took us to the back room, showed us the kiln, showed us some of the clay, showed us how she did the thing. And I just thought, boy, this is amazing. This is interesting. But you know, there was a moment when God took up some clay and he began to make a form of a man. Chiseled the nose in, formed the ears, stuck the chin on, made the elbows, put all the fingers in place, and in the garden floor, in the floor of that first earth, says God breathed in the man into that still form of clay the breath of life, and a man stood up. Amazing, amazing. And so we find that the psalmist could appreciate that fearfully and wonderfully have we been made. Psalm 139 says, "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." And the idea of covering is the idea of basket weaving, of knitting. And so when that first moment of life comes, conception, we find that God is involved in that. That God is weaving, is covering, is knitting something that is absolutely unique. There's no one like us. I mean, sometimes twins look very much alike, but we are all distinctive, aren't we? It's the very hand of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's why our existence begins with conception. That's why abortion is murder. It is. Because the very hand of God is at the very start at conception. the marvel of formation. But you know, as we're born, we find that our body has a few functions. There's a purpose for our bodies. I think very logically, it locates us, puts us on the map. And so you're sitting over there, you're sitting over there, you're located. There was a preacher one time, he was having meetings, not in Vancouver, it was in Ontario, and there was a couple of Christians that had to be away the next night. And so they said, "Brother, we appreciate the ministry, but we're not going to be there tomorrow night, but we'll be there in spirit." And so when the brother got up the next night, he saw about two rows of empty chairs. And he says, "I'm not sure if I'm speaking to spirits or I don't know where they are, but they're here in spirit." But you know, when we're in a body, it locates us, puts us on the map. But not only that, our bodies identify us. There are fingerprints. There are tongue prints. There is DNA and so on. The human body, it identifies us. And thirdly, the human body in its function, it houses us. This really is my tent. It's pretty fragile, pretty temporary, but I'm living inside this body. I'm looking up through these windows. I'm talking through this door. Something's coming in these side entrances. I'm living in a body. You know, that's why Peter could say, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, this my tent. It's just a temporary dwelling. We're not going to live in this body forever. We're going to have a real body, an eternal body, but right now we're in a temporary tent, a tabernacle. It is housing us. And thirdly, it is serving us. Is allowing us to move. It's allowing us to carry out the purposes of life. It's like a vehicle that allows us to carry out what God wants us to do as creatures, as human beings, as believers. And so it serves us. Now, all that God has made, everything that God made, has really two very important functions, two great and important purposes. Everything that God has made is designed to, first of all, glorify the Creator. Glorify the Creator. And secondly, everything that God makes is designed to bless the creature. You say, "Prove that to me." Well, Psalm 19 starts off, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And who here is not, I don't know if in Vancouver, but if you get outside of Vancouver, who here has not looked up somewhere along the line and looked at the starry heavens and said, "Man, there's a great God out there. Look at what he's made. Look at the beauty of it. Look at the splendor of it." Or a sunrise or a sunset or the beauty of Vancouver. The heavens, the very mighty works of God, they declare the glory of God. And even though you don't read your Bible, and the world doesn't read his Bible, they can't help if they're honest. They can't help it but really admit there's somebody that made all of that. It glorifies God. But the same psalm speaks about the sun that is glorifying God, but it's also warming the creature. It warms the earth. That's why I like to be in Vancouver on the Easter weekend. When I left, we had to get the plane de-iced. It was freezing cold in Ontario. The sun is nice and warm here. It is blessing us. And then we come to the Word of God in the very same psalm. And the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God reveals the perfection of God. But the Word of God also blesses the creature. And this book has brought us eternal blessing. This book has told us about our need. This book has told us about God's remedy. This book has told us about all the blessings of God. It reflects on the glory of God, and it blesses the creature. Now just take those concepts. All that God has made is designed to glorify the Creator, and it's designed to bless the creature. And when you look at those two purposes, you find that the body, the human body, has the very same aspect, the very same purpose. Our bodies are designed to glorify our Creator, to glorify our God. That's the master purpose. That's why we are in a body, to glorify Him. but it's also designed to bless the creature. And you know, we have received so many blessings, and our bodies allow us to enjoy that. But you know, we're living in a world in which there are an awful lot of misconceptions, misapplications, a lot of frustrations and failures when it comes to the body. So most of you are young, but I'm sure that sometimes you get up in the morning, you look at your body, at your face, you say, oh, look at those marks of imperfection. Oh, I'm getting a wrinkle already. And then when you get to be my age, you don't bother looking in the mirror anymore. They say that old age is very enriching. I'm not sure about this, but they say it's very enriching because when you get old, you get gold hair, or silver hair rather. You get gold teeth. You get gas in the stomach. You get lead feet. And wonderful. Yes, I'm really looking forward to this. I think I'll pass. But you know what's happening in this world? We're living in a world that is worshiping the body. In fact, Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2 tells us that the world in which we're living, the world of Romans 1 and 2 and the world of 2007, tells us when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither indeed were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. And so we're living in a world that's marked by the darkness of no God. We're living in a world in which people are dishonoring their own bodies. We're seeing the sad results of a world that has turned away from the Creator and is worshiping the creature and worshiping the body. There's a sign in Cambridge I noticed just a while back. It said, get a new body in 90 days. I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. New body, 90 days. But you know what I know, that there's a great appeal. I think it's called extreme makeovers. And this, as far as I know, I haven't really seen this thing, but I've heard about it. This is a very, very appealing thing to an awful lot of people, the extreme makeovers. And so they take less than ideal bodies, whatever that is, and they're brought in for extensive overhauls. Surgeons, dentists, cosmeticians, whatever. You likely know more about this than I do. But anyway, the person, usually a woman, sometimes a man, gets a tooth job, like brand new teeth or whatever. Different hairstyles, body shapes are changed, fat is removed, skin is made flawless, there's nose reconstruction, there's brow lifts, whatever that is, ear repairs, tummy tucks. And then the makeup artists move in and they color and fill whatever the surgeon didn't do. And then finally there's the grand entrance. And the long-awaited moment comes when this person that started like this and has ended up like this makes their grand entrance. And suddenly the lights go on, and there's a brand new beginning to life. They have arrived. You know what the problem with that is? That none of their flaws were life-threatening. The minor imperfections of their body were viewed as atrocities. This is terrible that I have a big ears or a crooked nose. And they're convinced that less than Barbie doll figures are really ugly. And you know what that happened? What that means in this world? It means that outward beauty is everything. And if you don't measure up, you're nobody. Physical beauty is the be-all, end-all of life. And if you don't measure up, sorry, you'll be overlooked. Is that the world of 2007? I think it is. Because the advertising world is driven by beautiful figures and pretty faces and sexual themes. And what has happened is that actually defiles and destroys the true value of a person. Sad, isn't it? fact, I remember Mr. George Campbell, known to some of the older ones here. In his unsaved days, he worked down in California at some of the exclusive resorts where all the movie stars were. He said they had the faces of angels and the morals of an alley cat. Looked beautiful on the outside, absolutely depraved on the inside. You know, when it comes to our bodies, I just want to look at just some of the features. Because to me, the picture or the image of a vehicle gives us a lot of scope to understand our body. You know, this body of mine is really, it's not sinful in itself. It's really neutral in one sense. This hand of mine, I can express my love to my wife and to my family with these hands. A big hug, an embrace. This same hand that you're seeing before you can take a gun or a hammer or any kind of a violent object and murder somebody. This hand is capable of great blessing or great destruction. And so here we are in a body, capable of great usefulness or great destruction. Now just picture your body tonight as a vehicle. And I think it's readily seen that there's really only two makes. In the body as a vehicle, there's male and female. But you know, in these two makes, there are an awful lot of models, a lot of models. I looked around as you were singing, and I saw some fellas that were stretch limos way up there. And I saw some wide-body Hummers around. And I saw a few Mini Cooper Classics. And I saw a few sleek Corvettes. And there are a few rugged SUVs around as well. All kinds of models. But you know, when it comes to our body, what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us is that if we're saved now, there's been a change of ownership. A change of ownership. There was a day when God saved me. There was a day when I acknowledged Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know what that meant? That meant that I took the keys out of the ignition. I had been in the driver's seat for 21, almost 22 years. I took the keys out of the ignition. I said, Lord, you drive. I belong to you. You are the Lord of my life. I'm under your ownership. Not just my soul, but my body. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. And so our bodies, if we understand that correctly, don't belong to us anymore. I hope we understand that. Our bodies, we're certainly stewards of our body, but our bodies don't belong to us. They belong to Him. He has purchased our bodies. He has purchased all that we are. And so the ownership belongs to Him. But something else about that, there's been a change of passengers, change of residence. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us, verse 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? And so when God saved me, when I gave Him the keys, there was a brand new passenger that took up residence in my vehicle, in my body. The Spirit of God moved in. He is the Holy Spirit. And that's why when you're walking down the road toward a certain place, the passenger said, Marv, I don't want to go there. I don't feel comfortable there. But I want to go there. That's what I tell him. And the resident or the passenger says, no, I don't want to go there, and I don't want you to go there. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's why when you pick up a piece of smutty literature, or you put the DVD into your laptop, and you start looking at things that are going to corrupt your mind and likely defile your body, the passenger said, don't do it. Don't do it. I don't appreciate that. It's grieving to me. I, I, I don't want you to go there. That's the Spirit of God. He indwells every believer. He indwells our bodies. And so there's a brand new passenger. There's a brand new resident within. And he's with us every step of the way, not just Sunday mornings and not just conference time. He's going to be there tomorrow morning and Monday morning and when you go off to school and university and to the job. And wherever you go, the Spirit of God is going with you in your vehicle. There's a change of status because now our bodies are called the temple, a temple, the dwelling place of God. And that's why we need to be holy. And if I could just become very practical now, I'd like to give you just a little bit concerning the performance of our vehicle. I think they call that car care or body care. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us about the image of a runner, an athlete. I keep under my body. And so when I understand that my body belongs to the Lord, I will care for my body. Now, when you're young, you don't think too much about that. When you get to be my age and you go to the doctor says, Marv, you've got high cholesterol. You got to start walking 40 minutes a day. And you got to lose weight. I said, oh, terrible. And you got to do this and you got to do that. You know what the problem is? I haven't been caring for my body. I'm sorry, but that's the honest truth. I know it and the doctor knows it. And it's going to affect me. Now, there are some things that we don't have control over, but listen, we're only going to have one body in this world. We got to care for it. And so, very practically, what you eat is what you become. The amount of exercise, very hands-on now, it's going to affect you. Our bodies are to be fit vessels for the Master's use. But not only that, I will not abuse my body. If you have a brand new car, you're not going to go beating it up. Yet isn't it strange that we take our bodies for granted and we start putting things into our body that will only tear it down? I don't know Vancouver all that well, and so I'm just going to just mention this. But I trust there's no young people that are drinking alcoholic beverages here. I hope there's no one here that's doing drugs, although they're all around us. Go ahead and try it, the world says. Be accepted. If you're a man, you'll do it. Hope there's no one that's chewing on the weed or smoking the weed or all these things. These things will only bring abuse to your body, tear you down. I'll care for my body, I'll not abuse my body. I will not expose or I will not mar my body. I thought what our brother said this morning was very, very helpful. When our first parents sinned, the very God of heaven stepped in and he clothed our first parents. And God's desire is that the body would be covered adequately. We're living in a world that wants to expose the body, wants to show it off, wants to accent body parts. You know what I'm talking about? That's what sells everything. We're living in a sex-driven world, in a body-driven world. And the more the body you see, the more the world likes it. We have been brought into a tremendously high calling. We're representing the very God of heaven. And so there's really two options. I can dress attractively. I'm talking to male and female tonight. We can dress attractively or we can dress to attract, to catch the eye, to show ourselves off, to turn the head. And if that's the case, then we're not glorifying the Creator, are we? We're glorifying the creature. And so I will not expose my body. Would you allow me to be really practical tonight? And I'm not throwing stones here tonight, but I'd like to help you. I will not mar my body. I'll just say this. There's a university student. She's coming to meetings. She's been coming for about a year and a half now, back in Ontario, a certain part of Ontario. She had never heard the gospel before, but she began to come. She heard the message of the gospel, and there was something about that message that she found very, very appealing, and she trusted Christ. When she came to the meetings, she had all kinds of body piercings. I couldn't count the number of them. They were everywhere. And Christians welcomed her, showed her no small kindness, welcomed her to the meetings, got saved. And just a while ago, she came up to one of the brethren and she said, I notice that none of the women here have any body piercings. Why is that? Now, could I just say, sisters, you're absolutely beautiful to God as He has made you. You really are. And to try to add by piercing your body doesn't add to your appeal as far as God is concerned. Now, I'm not suggesting that you've got to go around as a, you know, as someone that doesn't dress attractively, doesn't take care of yourself. No, that's part of our calling. But the Old Testament, and I think, and there's no scripture in the New Testament that speaks specifically of this, but the Old Testament does speak very clearly about the fact that we are not to cut our bodies. We are not to pierce it. That's what the unsaved do. We have a far higher calling. We are representing our God. And it's wonderful to see sisters, and there's so many of them at this conference and even here tonight, and you are modest. You're seeking to carry yourself with the dignity of a Christian woman. Don't add what the world wants to add. Be what God has made you. I will not expose or I'll not mar my body. There's one more thing. I will not defile my body with sexual sin. It was covered this morning, but could I just say this by way of appeal? We're living in a world in which young couples think nothing of moving in together before marriage. Well, it's not even happening anymore. People don't get married anymore. Do you know that the divorce rate is going down because people are not getting married? Sad, sad commentary on our lives, on our society. But I trust that we will not defile our bodies by moving into a relationship and into areas that are out of bounds, apart from the bond of marriage. You know, it's wonderful to be able to move into a married relationship with no regrets, with no dark shadows, with no skeletons in the closet, with a clear conscience. I have kept my body pure for my partner. Now, if there are those that have stepped over the line, you can't turn back the wheels of time. And there is forgiveness. Failure is never final with regard to God. But I trust that from this moment on, you will keep your body pure and clean until you move into a married relationship that will honor God and will bring you wonderful satisfaction. And for those that are not married, that have maintained their purity, I trust that you will be preserved until that moment that you say, I do, and two, become one, and you move on into a married life that has no regrets. Let me just say this, and I'll close. What's the focus of all of this? I trust we'll understand that Romans chapter 12 is an appeal. I beseech you, therefore, men and brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants our bodies. God needs my hands. God needs my mouth. He needs your mouth. God needs your feet. He saved us to use us. And so if God takes you and moves you down to Panama, He'll do it in your body. And you'll function in your body. If God moves you to China or wherever else, or maybe to Terrace or Squamish or whatever the place is, He will use you, body, soul, and spirit. That's God's desire. That's the apostles' prayer. I pray that your whole body, soul, and spirit be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, our bodies are important. Our bodies are of tremendous value. And I trust that we will be available for God's use, that we'll be clean for God's use, that we will use what God has given to us in our bodies, our abilities, for His service. Because the future of our bodies is absolutely glorious. One of these days we're going to get a brand new body. You know, when the Lord, and I'll close. I promise. You know, when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He died not only to save our souls from hell, He died to save our bodies from the lake of fire, to bring us into His presence in a body, to glorify Him forever. And so I trust that God will bless His word and bless each one.